Yeah. Well, we come to message four in our review of this international training for elders and responsible ones. And this message, of course, all of these messages are very precious and very crucial. And we want to encourage you all to, if you can, to listen to the original recordings of these messages, especially to read through the excerpts at the end of each one of the outlines. They are very, very helpful, very enlightening, and very supplying. And to, if you can, in your locality, wherever you are, get together with some brothers to study them together. You know, during the elders' trainings, you all have been, I'm sure, to some of them. We always have those study groups. They're very helpful. So the more we can study them, the more we can get into them, I think the more helpful these messages will be, and the more this burden of bringing forth the one new man will be in our consciousness and be in our you know, in our forethought and in our understanding of what the Lord needs right now. And I think most of us realize the world is not getting any better. It's getting a lot worse. And in my heart, and I think in your heart, we're all crying out, come, Lord Jesus. But I have had the realization in these past year or so particularly that the Lord cannot come back until we fulfill this matter. The Lord cannot come back until we become the one new man in reality. The Lord cannot come back without the bride prepared. So, you know, many people can be praying, come, Lord Jesus, and it's wonderful, but really the responsibility is with us. We Americans say, the responsibility is with me. But you say the responsibility is with me. Anyway, whatever, however you say it, the responsibility is with us, and we need to be those who... So let's read the title of message four together, and I'll say a little bit about this title. Taking Christ as our person. This title is very significant. I think most of us know that for the body of Christ, that aspect of the church, right? We need the life of Christ, and we are members of the body. But for the one new man, Christ is the person of the one new man. And we need to learn to take him as our person. Amen. I think we have more experience of enjoying him and taking him as our life. We have more experience of experiencing him as our life. But as I was going through this and getting into this outline, I realized I don't have that much experience of taking him as my person. But this is critical for us, brothers. We need to learn how to take Christ as our person. Amen. And there are three words that our brother used when he gave this message in India. The first one was the prerequisite. You see, there's a preposition here, for. For the one new man, there is a prerequisite. And that prerequisite is that we need to take Christ as our person. Until we do this, and unless we do this, there will not be the reality of the one new man. The one new man has been created on the cross, as our brother mentioned in Ephesians 2. But for us to bring it forth, for us to bring it into reality and into our experience, there is a prerequisite, and that prerequisite is that we need to take Christ as our person. And the first Roman numeral, let's read that together. For the new man, we all need to take Christ. Circle the word all. This was brought out in this message. All of we brothers in this room, all of the leading brothers and the responsible brothers in the Lord's recovery, we first need to learn to take Christ. We can't just tell the saints to take Christ as our person. Oh, brothers, you need to take Christ as your person. Yet I'm not taking Christ as my person. That will never work. We must learn to take Christ as our person. We must learn. That's very crucial. That is the prerequisite. And then another aspect in this title is that there's an instrumentality here for the one new man. This taking Christ as our person becomes the instrument or the instrumentality for the one new man to be brought into reality. There's something here related to, you know, there's a causal factor here. There's an instrument needed, and that is for us to practice this and take Christ as our person. And I hope we could give you a few There were some good examples brought out in this message. And the last one is not as easy to understand, but I think is very precious. He brought out this word, there's something fragrant about this experience. If we can learn to take Christ as our person, it's very sweet. It's very fragrant. For you, for me, for me no longer to live, right? This is just Galatians 2:20. For me no longer to live, but to let Christ live in me is a very sweet experience. It's a very fragrant and precious experience. And I think that's one of the reasons why the hymn was called 437 in the training we sang it, right? We need to know him, right? We need to be captivated by his beauty to allow him to be our person or to take him as our person. You know, taking someone as your person is different than just enjoying Christ as our life. Taking him as our person is mainly involved in making decisions all day long. Right? 90-95% of our day is making decisions. So the question in this outline and the question before us in our daily life is, who's making that decision? Am I making that decision? Well, 90% of the time, probably I'm making that decision. We make decisions by our understanding, our logic, and we figure things out and, you know, cost and value, and we buy things. All kinds of decisions are made. But we need to, if we want to take Christ as our person, we need to learn not to make the decision. We need to learn to ask the Lord Jesus, Amen. Lord, what Amen. Do you want me to do? What do you want me to do today? What do you want me to buy today? What do you want me to eat today? We need to learn to ask him and to take him and learn to take him as our person. And brothers, if our relationship with the Lord is that intimate and that precious, as we're captivated by him, and that saves us from so many things, it will be very precious and sweet to allow him to make the decisions. It will be very, very sweet. You know, he gave this example in the message, which I was touched by it. It helped me to see this a little bit. He said, you know, when a young man starts to court a sister, when a young brother starts to court a sister, he doesn't know her that well in the beginning. And, you know, love is not involved yet. He's just getting to know her. But when he contacts her and spends a little time with her, and then after that time, he goes back home, he realizes, wow, that was very pleasant. That was a very nice time. I enjoyed being with her. So what happens? He contacts her again. Did this happen to you? Right? And then he finds out this contact was she's very dear, and you know, and then he starts having a little more feeling. And what happens? It's very pleasant. So he wants to contact her again and again and again, and eventually to spend all his hard-earned money to buy this ring and marry this girl. Because he wants to be with her all the time. Right? He wants to be with her all the time. This is the way we need to be with the Lord. For us to take Christ as our person, this fragrant, enjoyable experience has to happen. Or else we won't spend that much time with him. We have to have that intimate relationship. Now, brothers, I'm concerned. You know, I don't want this review of this lesson just to be about your personal time with the Lord and for you to kind of, you know, I don't know, write it off. And I mean, how many times have we talked about our personal life? Oh, Dennis is just sharing about it. Well, I just think it's very instrumental and very, very helpful to realize. For us to get into this experience of taking Christ as our person, we must realize the significance of it. One, there's a prerequisite here. There's an instrumentality here. For us to gain the one new man, we must take Christ as our person. It's so critical. It's so crucial. But on the other hand, it's very precious and sweet. It's very fragrant in our experience if we are having this kind of experience. So in Romans 1, there's a couple of precious points here. Let's read A together. In the one new man, there is only one person, right? And that person is Christ. So we need to see then in the church that the church is the one new man, and that in this one new man, we have no place. For Christ is all and in all. This is Colossians 3, right? A very crucial verse in this outline is Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. There's no longer, you know, Christ is all and he is in all. There is no Greek, there's no Jew, there's no slave, there's no free man, but Christ is all and is in all. So Christ is this one new man, and we need to take him as our person. Amen. Now, D says, in the new man, all of us are simply one man. The requirement that everyone be only one man is extremely high. Brothers, this is costly. For us to die every day is going to be costly. For there to be no longer I every day is going to cost you your soul life. It's going to cost you your personal preferences. It's going to cost you. It is extremely high. But we have to pay this price, brothers. If we want to bring the Lord back, we have to learn to take him as our person. You know, basically, we live our life depending on our culture and our background and our thing, and we make choices according to that, right? And we somehow live in a behavioral kind of atmosphere. If this is good and not evil, that's okay. We can do that. If it's a behavior that we accept and that we and people generally accept as being, you know, proper and whatever, we would just go ahead and behave that way. It's different for us to realize that God doesn't care whether it's good, bad, left or right. He only is asking who is doing it, not what are we doing. We are on the side of what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the wrong thing? But God's not in that realm at all. He wants to know who is doing it. Not whether it's right or wrong or good or bad or black or white. He wants to know who is doing it. And that's where we have to learn to take Christ as our person. Amen. Let's read Romans 2 together. For the practical existence of the one new man, the total person of the old man must be put away. You know, Romans 6:6 says we've been buried together with him, right? So these verses, Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ. And, Brother Benjamin used to say, he is from an earlier generation, and maybe most of you don't know these kind of, you know, but when I was really young, there were a lot of zombie movies. You know what a zombie is. It's a dead person who, you know, gets up and starts walking around, you know. And they were very scary when I was really little. You know, whenever a zombie movie would come, I turn off the television because I have nightmares. But anyway, Benjamin would say, we're very much like zombies. We've been crucified with Christ, but we just rise up out of the grave every day to walk around. And you have been crucified. You are dead. Why are you still living? I shouldn't say that to me. I am dead, but why am I still walking around like a zombie? Because I don't realize. I don't have the view. We need vision too, right? We need a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I have been crucified, and I should not be living here. Christ should be living here. We should take Christ as our person. Now, this word in D is one of the main words that helped us helped me when I was reviewing this. Let's read D together. We should care not for the adjustment of our outward behavior. This word shift or shifting. I had never read this in the ministry, but Brother Lee talks about this. It's in your your excerpts there. We have to shift. We have to make this shift. It's no longer I, but Christ. It's a shift. It's a shift in vision and realization, but it must become a shift in our experience of letting him decide and giving him the first place in all things and experiencing the cross of Christ in our daily life. And then that must be and should be and will be, if we really experience that, a very fragrant thing, a very precious thing to make this shift. And I think this is when he used that example. You know, that young brother is shifting from just being, you know, single and alone to loving this person and giving him, you know, and wanting to spend his whole life with this young sister, with his sister, and get married and for the two to become one flesh, right? That's a shift from being individualistic, from being alone, from being single to being married. And we need to make this shift in our experience with the Lord, that it is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. And then just read 3, and then that's about all I think we have time for. Let's read 3 together, Romans 3. When we live our life by taking Christ as our person, especially in making decisions, and in this point, Isaiah 7:14 and 15 was brought out, which Brother Ed has shared several times. You know, Christ was, when he was born, he learned to choose, right? And he learned to determine the evil from the good by eating butter and honey, the sweetest grace, right? Richest grace and the sweetest love. So we need to learn, brothers, we need to learn to, in our making of decisions, we need to learn by experiencing the Lord and taking Him as our person and enjoying Him as our richest grace and enjoying Him as our sweetest love. In making our decisions, we need to let Him decide how we live and let Him take care of our thing. Okay, then in D2, I think we'll just close with this point. In D2, let's read that together. Since we are part of the new man, our decisions are living. New man, this is the ultimate. I think, brothers, we've heard this before. We're not just individual churches. We're not just individual, you know, Christians in the church life, but the way we live affects each other, and the way we carry out the church life in our locality affects the other churches. We need to have such a view of our corporate living of this God-man, of this one man. And then for your study in Romans 4, Paul is the pattern of such a person. Taking Christ as his person is very, very encouraging. And the verses here talk about progression in our transformation and growth. For us to take Christ as our person is a matter of growth in life. And it is a matter of transformation, which is a kind of a shift from our living and our decision-making on our own to taking the Lord as our person, asking Him what we should do and how we should go on and how we should serve and how we should help the saints. Because frankly, we don't know. We don't know how to serve. But we're learning, right? We're learning to choose the good and refuse the evil, in like in Isaiah, by taking Christ as our sweetest, right, as our richest grace and our sweetest love. So may we exercise to live this way and to practice this in our daily life, because if we can do this, brothers, if we all can do this, then there's a great possibility the saints will be brought into this kind of living. Because, you know, brothers, the saints follow you. They follow you. They trust you. They believe in you. They want to follow you. And so even though we may say, oh, don't follow me, don't follow. Well, we're here, so we're going to be followed. So we need to learn to take Christ as our person, and then the saints will be able to take Christ as their person because they will see it in our living. So this is a very crucial message, and I do encourage you to read all the excerpts. They're very, very helpful.
Brothers assigned me to review message 5 and 8. It's a lot, but praise the Lord. The time together is already so joyful, so enjoyable, and this training by itself is almost a new beginning for the Lord's recovery. Even though we heard of these terms and we knew all these the basic things. since 1977, you know, that's the second time Brother Lee brought many overseas saints back to Taiwan. The first time was in 1968. Actually, in 1968, Livingstone, Brother Livingstone here, was still in school, in a sense, right? And 77, he temporarily quit his job, teaching job, and to serve that training. The thing is, that when the ministry released the speaking, up-to-date speaking, the Lord has to raise up that environment. And we can never dissociate the Word of God with the time and the environment and all the human factors surrounding us at that given time. And the one new man was released. You know those days, even in the Far East, to see a white person, to see a black person, is a rarity. It's a very rare rare thing. And when I was in college, and I was sent to a place to learn English, and our teachers were seven white teachers from Nebraska. Well, that was a pretty unique situation. And the teachers assigned us, because in those days in Guangzhou, there are a lot of hotels being built. So a lot of foreigners living in those hotels. So we have to, our homework is one day every week, go to those hotels to strike a conversation with a foreigner. Oh, my Lord. That was not easy. Okay. And we're trained to learn how to use a fork, a knife, napkins, folding, and what was different size, different spoons. Wow. It's too complicated. Yeah, the Chinese way is so easy. You know, two sticks, you know, everything's done. Just as I look at them to eat, he's struggling. I said, why so trouble? Just pick it up and bite. So, saints, this in those days, in 77, you think the Lord's recovery in the Western world for only about 15 years. Really, 15 years. In those 15 years, there's so much change. So many things are changing. And the traffic between the East and West was not that flowing well. Okay. So in the West, we receive great blessings, particularly from early 70, 70 to 73. We saw tremendous blessings. Of course, they began to have, you know, concerns, needs. And so Brother Lee started the life study training in 1974. And those are particularly trying to help those who migrated and the newly saved ones. Imagine our number in those days. Since the beginning of the migration, in less than 4 years, our number nearly tripled. A lot of them are new ones from campuses. So, you know, we got very excited, I think. That's what Brother Ricky is referring to. Right. Of course, the enemy, you know, we always attribute it to the enemy. Mm-hmm. But the enemy operates through the old man. Right. Okay. We are all old, corrupted men. Because right. In those days, later, we know there are situations from, you know, different groups come in, different people come in, you know, just begin to stir up a lot of things. So yet, in the midst of those chaotic situations, or just being brewing, and Brother Lee released the messages, one body, one spirit, one body, and one new man, on the book of Colossians. Brothers, even sitting here, you know, all of us representing a lot of churches, you know, how much we are guarding our locality. That's, you know, this morning, actually, the word, are we still, you know, stamping our foot? You know, say, no, this is mine. And this is the age, we still needed to keep those truths, keep those principles. Yet the age has been rolling on. It's been rolling on. Because otherwise, where is the body, the reality of the body? And this morning, we've been using the reality a lot. But the reality in Jesus is one stage of the reality. The reality, even in the body in the new man, is one stage. Because by In him, everything has been done, is accomplished. In God's eyes, this is just like from eternity past to eternity future. Everything has been done. Even all his salvation, judicial aspects, everything is done. It's all inclusive. But yet, in practicality, that reality has not really been substantially expressed in us. So this set of messages, brothers, I think worth our brothers to get into it. Or even spend time, when you go back, those brothers who cannot be with us, and we need to get into the burdens. Because look at ourselves here. I mean, white, black. I mean, we are so different. Because in the old man, brothers, if we see the title, the subject of this training, when I saw this one, I was working on the morning revival material before the training. I said, whoa, this title can be read in many, many ways. This is the one new man fulfilling God's purpose in creating man. There are a lot of denotation behind this title because if you read it this way, the one old man who's supposed to fulfill God's purpose in creating man failed, right? You can read it that way, right? The one old man did not fulfill God's purpose in creating him. So this title is a purpose and is also a consequence because the old man, the one old man, did not finish what's supposed to be finished. Otherwise, the Bible will be very thin, right? First two chapters, last two chapters, ta-da, it's done. But brothers, me is the trouble. The me is the problem. So I am the problem. Don't look left or right, in front or back. I am the problem. Brothers, the old man, if you go through these outlines, we know in the book of Colossians, let's read a couple of verses in Colossians. Let's read Colossians 3, particularly, let's read it from, let's read one portion from Colossians 3:1 to 3:11, because with this portion of scriptures, the burden has become very clear, because I'm combining message 5 and message 8. As a matter of fact, I'm talking more starting from message 8, and then back to message 5, okay? Let's read this a few verses together. Amen. If, therefore, you are raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden in Christ in God. When Christ, our life, is manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and greediness, which is idolatry, because of which things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked, when you lived in these things. But now you also put away all these things: wrath, anger, malice, blasphemy, foul, abusive language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his practices, and have put on a new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all in all. Brothers, you can see in practicality, the one new man takes a lot for us to cooperate. In Ephesians 2, we saw on the cross, the old, everything associated, everything included, everything embodied in the one old man has come to an end. on the cross, supposedly, judicially, everything in the old man has been terminated. Amen. Brothers, if anything comes to our mind, and don't think how good it is old. It is old. And everything we feel, if it's not going through Christ, it is old. It is corrupted. It has been defiled. And in biology, when the cell divides, I was reading this, I was feel pretty, I'm not a graphic designer. I don't have Brother Ricky's skill, even drawing the circles, okay? And just bear with me. If we see the first Adam, so this person, the stickman, okay? This person, suppose when God created him, he is a corporate person. Again, so it's a one person, yet a corporate person. That's why it's a type of Christ. Everything associated with him, including Eve, come out of him, return back to him, cleave together, is all types of the coming ages. But yet we know something come in, an outside source, came into him. This is supposed to become the one new man. Now, just freshly out of creation, ready to fulfill God's purpose. And it was defiled, became old. So the old doesn't mean only age, it's by nature. Sometimes we're very young, and you feel like this person is so old. Okay, it's so old. So the old, brothers, today, don't think age indicates old. No, the nature, the condition are both old in the old man. I could be very young, but I could have an 80 years old mentality. That is called old. But in Adam, this one old man, everything is old. Yet, from this old man, there's so many things come out of him. We know there are two main lines. One is called the Jews. The other one is collectively, in totality called Gentiles or Greeks. So this is where Colossians is talking about. So you have Jews. And then the rest is Greeks, let's call Greeks, okay? Or Gentiles. And then you have ordinances this morning we're talking about. There's so many other things, culture, the way to eat, the way to think, the way to dress. I was so not used to put a tie on when I was in China, okay? So the teachers train us to dress. Dress up, have ties, put a napkin here, put on a button. Oh, my Lord, is this Chinese? I'm coming back to China. Why treat me to go to America to eat like this way? I'm not going to become an American. It's a culture, tradition, ways of thinking. The value, thinking about different things, judging people. When you saw, the first thing we come to America, when you see a black person, I came to a place, most of them are Caucasians. When you see a black person, you feel, you all of a sudden associated with that person with the movies in Harlem. Well, you can associate with so many things in the old man. So, brothers, you can draw so many lines, right? I don't know how many lines do you have. There's so many things issue from this old man. And if we go on like that, that's why in the world, there's no peace. You can see in Ephesians 2, there are two words. You know, one is the one new man as a masterpiece. The other one is soul making peace. Man has no peace with God. So man has no peace with one another. Headhunters, they feel they're so honorable. If they can, you know, kill a few and take five heads back, it's better than taking four heads back. That's also part of the old man. You think we are very cultured. We have, you know, America is very cultured. But yet, those headhunter nature, it's also in us. That's why we call the HRs. Those are headhunters, right? You're looking for a job, you say, contact the headhunters. What's headhunters? The soul takers. Well, the soul sellers. They take you, take your head, take your soul to make a profit. Yet we feel pretty good about it. We want to sell for a higher price. This is all in the old man. This turn into judgments in the church life. Turn into view one another. The way to think of one another. This look at their countenance. Look at their index of the eyes. Look at their... You already made a decision. You like this person or not like this person. And I was watching, brothers, you were drinking coffee and having snacks and everything in the cafeteria. You're always looking for somebody you're familiar with. Why not somebody else you don't know? Brothers, this is all in the natural man. It's all in the oldness. Because this is where, brothers, we're supposed to be stewards. We're supposed to be in one stewardship and to carry out God's economy, trying to really dispense Christ into one another. Amen. Praise the Lord, the last Adam. In him, all of this have been crossed out. Brothers, really, in us, you know, remember Brother Lee in the late 80s, he had some training messages called Perfecting Trainings. There's so many messages he's touching on the peculiarity, the strange traits in us. We feel pretty good about it, but yet it's a trigger for a time bomb. We all have it, brothers. I may have a few you don't know. You may have a few I don't know. But in fellowship, we're very courteous to one another. But in our heart, certain words, certain ways, certain expressions already triggered that button. And we just feel like, I'm still, you know, smurfing, smiling, but in my heart, I feel like, you have that kind of feeling against me. That brother may not at all have those feelings. Yet those things triggering in our hearts. And then that oneness, that unity, that love, that harmony, everything just all of a sudden evaporated or destroyed. Next time. I'm not going to. So a lot of feelings. So Brother Dennis talking about decisions. A lot of decisions rooted and related, affected by our emotions. Oh, I feel good about it. I say, oh, you buy this thing. Do you need it? No, but I like it. So that's the feelings. So most of the time in the church life is feelings. Do you like that person or not? You open to that person or not? You like to be with that person or not? Brothers, as responsible ones, or we are learning to take care of the church, brothers, this is something so exposing. When I was in New Jersey, most of the saints are Chinese speaking. I even don't have to think about the language. The English was the first year when I was in this country. I never spoke any Chinese because there's very few Chinese in that city, in the school. And after coming to the church life about 21 years ago in Franklin, most of them are Chinese speaking. Oh, this year my English just keep declining. Declining. I was, oh, what am I doing here? You're, come to New York, speak more English. All of a sudden, I feel like, wow, there are all kinds of people in New York City. Because in New Jersey, you have a lot of PhDs, masters. I mean, from my hometown, from my home school, I'm so familiar with them. Come to New York City. Oh, my Lord, where are you from? One time I was calculating, I was counting 21 mother tongues in that Lord's Day. He looks like a Chinese, does he? He doesn't speak Chinese. Actually, his grandfather was the one in the city I attended my school. He looked like a Chinese. His Chinese is poor. Abraham's Chinese is better than yours. Oh, you look at the Spanish, the same thing, brothers. Right. Because language, race, color, the background that we raised up, even though I'm Chinese, when I was in Guangzhou in those years, early in the middle 80s, oh, I never experienced more serious discrimination in this country than I was in Guangzhou. Yeah. I go to Shanghai, the Shanghainese. The discrimination is worse. Oh, you, am I Chinese? Yeah, but you go to Texas, you go to North Carolina, South Carolina. Brothers, race, culture, language, color, our background, our dialect. Oh, you sound like a Middle Western. When I first came to this country, I was in Oregon. Those professors say, why do you have a Western accent, a Middle Western accent? I said, I don't have a Middle Western accent. They say, you do. I cannot tell the difference. But I said, oh, my teachers come from Lincoln, Nebraska. Maybe that's why. Brothers, even dialect, you hear familiar dialect in the church life. You may approach that person naturally. You may get close to that person naturally. Brothers, there are so many things in the church life. It's causing us not to be able to build up together in a harmonious way, in this oneness. And we're talking about taking Christ as the person. That's even more difficult. So, our Lord's purpose has to be fulfilled. So in Him, everything has been terminated. Our race, our culture, our tradition, our language, our look, our height, our shortness, our big, small, everything, brothers, has been put to an end in Christ. Oh, this is a few years of church life in New York City, brothers. Is a great training for myself. I have to testify for this. And I have to put off. I'm still putting off. I have to put off so many of myself. Okay. I love you, Brother Harry. Oh, the first thing I have to learn to be kissed on the cheeks by some older sisters when they hug me, okay? Oh, my Lord. They come, they love you, they just hug you and kiss you. Mwah, mwah. So, oh, my Lord, I have to make the same sound? Oh, Lord. My goodness. I was hugging by some tall brothers. I was, do you have to grow that tall? You know, brothers, every little factor in the church life can really, if we not pay attention to purposely really ask the Lord to eliminate it, to put it off, put it down, to gradually decrease. We cannot really build up together. So we always talk about adjusted or tempered or, you know, modified or do whatever. But it is the elimination first. So breaking the outer man, and so the spirit can really seep, soak, permeate, saturate our whole being. Brothers, it's particularly the soul. We know the last Adam is the life-giving spirit. If we use the same expression to talk about the first Adam, who would that be? The life-giving soul, right? The first Adam became a living soul. Actually, this is where our soul is from, the old Adam. Brothers, even though we have a human spirit, but this spirit is not, sitting here, we all have the mingled spirit with the last Adam. What's the job, or if we say what the work of the last Adam to do in us, is to take the old Adam. Okay. We have so many Adams, N Adams, right? Mathematically, right? We are so many Adams, and yet going through the reverse engineering to dispense himself. Actually, we ourselves need to be open for this dispensing. Otherwise, message 8, there's no way we can be the stewards. Because the stewards really dispensing, the only thing is Christ. Paul is the pattern in message 4. He's the pattern who leave Christ. When he was describing himself in Philippians 1, he was talking about even to express Christ bodily in himself. See, our triune God embodied himself in Christ bodily. The Godhead embodied in Christ bodily. But Paul said, even in his body, he will express Christ. And that for his living, for me to live is Christ. So in him, this brother, either walking, taking boat, or traveling, or imprisoned, talking with the saints, talking with the prison guards, even talking with the family of Caesars. People will tell he's different. He's different. This guy, a chain, you know, with the chains, with the shackles, this guy is different. Why? Because for him to live is Christ and express Christ even bodily. Brothers, actually, if we plus these two matters together, body and our living, that's pretty much the church life, right? Nobody can see our thinking. But bodily and living, people, saints can see us. And the third is our utterance. Our utterance is dispensing life or dispensing other things. This is something many times I have to repent. And even the utterance was coming out with certain emotions, certain tones, certain expressions on my face. Is my countenance proper? Is my movement, body language proper? Am I shrugging my brother off? Brothers, this is so much required for a steward in the church life. We are all learners in this aspect, brothers. It's not anybody who is doing more. You know, we're all growing. We are still growing in this aspect. Because in message 5, we're talking about the function of the one new man. But that requires not only in John 16, a newborn babe with all the organs are in place, yet the function needed to be perfected. So the life growth, brothers, we need the growth in life. So by the dispensing, so many Adams, you think about it, we are all like this, and we are all full of it. We are all full of this. Yet through dispensing of himself, our mind is being renewed gradually. We need to really fully cooperate and realize this fact. We have been put to death with Christ. We have been buried with Christ. We are walking dead. Okay, that's another way to describe zombies. We're the walking dead, yet we're living. We put to death in the old man, but for the one new man, we're still living. But in this living, it's not living ourselves, but living the last Adam. Brothers, this is a tall order. Is when N Adams plus this one, Lord requires equals one. Oh, my Lord. Many times I say, oh, look at New York City. So many saints. Lord, are you going to bring us into this? Actually, this is the real oneness. By the end, he is the one. By the end, he will subject everything under one. By the end, we are all going to build up as a one body. By the end, in this one body, can you still have N Adams? Oh, even today, if you have a two personality in you, that's called a schizophrenia. Yeah. If we have hundreds of persons in us, my goodness, I don't know how am I going to leave. In this moment, I'm this. In that moment, I'm that. No, all those things has been terminated. We all need to become the last Adam. Amen. Brothers, this message is actually, it's very simple. I'm sorry. This message is very simple. But we need to realize. Actually, most of the time, our mind, renewing of our mind is to allow the Lord to shine, but yet to realize. If you recall your experience, most of, maybe from my experience, maybe almost 99% at least, are things I already knew. Things I already experienced. But I'm just forcing myself not to turn. Or the light has not shined, but not opening the heart. When you realize, oh yeah, that! I know it! That's realization. Brothers, actually in the church life, we have so many speakings, even up to date, seven feasts, local conferences, every Lord's Day. I mean, we're reviewing the messages. If you say we don't know those things, it's not fair. It's just you're really saying bad things about the brothers releasing the messages. Actually, we know. But we're just not willing to pay that extreme high price. Because what about me? Why are you always looking at me? What about him? He's no better. Last Lord's Day, I saw him. So a lot of times, we are not looking at me. And we look at Christ, and then we look at others. And we always make comparisons between Christ or other brothers with their brother. But what about me? Brothers, actually today, if we really want to become the proper stewards, our self has to be really realized. Our self has been put to death. The last Adam. The last Adam. That's why this title is The One New Man, Fulfilling God's purpose in creating man. Because the one old man failed. Yet our Lord's eternal purpose is not to wipe out the old creation, start something new. No, he himself entered into the old creation.
Amen.
So this is where Colossians 1:15 and 1:18 is talking about the new, the head of the old creation and the head of the new creation. So the old creation, he was the head, because the old creation was created in him, by him, and through him. But the old creation is supposed to be the new creation, and it returned to him, but yet it got destroyed. But so that's why he himself has to personally, personally become a man, entered into the old creation.
Amen.
That entering fulfilled God's purpose in him.
Amen.
But yet he needs to enter into us to continue that process, to enter into so many Adams by himself as a life-giving spirit. So gradually to transform us through renewing of our minds. Brothers, if today, through this day, we not only to see this vision, if we don't encourage you to do a lot of introspect, soul searching or something, but sometimes we do need that. Because in the Song of Songs, when Brother Lee was talking about introspect, first time Brother Lee talked about it, well, sometimes you get scared. Don't do too much introspect. But as a matter of fact, if you read the experience of life, a lot of times you do need come back to the Lord to do some searching. Lord, at this stage of my experience, my church life, my service, Lord, expose me. How can I go on with your purpose, your dealing, your doing in the church life? Doesn't matter how many years of church life we are, we have, under our belt in the church life. Actually, the more we go on, the more we have to be very careful with our experience becoming concepts. If a concept's formed, it's very difficult to break through. Okay, because in our mind, we have such a selective mind, selective hearing, selective feeling, selective in so many things. The selectivity is destroying us. Our family life, our ways of thinking, our ways of feeling. Brothers, I think if this day we all drove here, nobody lives here, but when we drive back or in the coming days, if we really, in this light, we really come before the Lord. Lord, I want to have a new beginning for this vision, for this vision of the one new man. Am I in your purpose up to date? I know in eternity I'm in your purpose, but am I in your purpose today? Am I cooperating with your move, your work, your desire today? Not yesterday, not years ago, but is it today? Lord, expose me in this. Brothers, we in the church life, if you stay for a few more years, you have so many things stalking our arteries, in our hearts. Now we have judgments, for everybody. We have a checkboard, a chart, almost like a medical chart, in our pocket, in our heart, not for ourselves, but for many other saints. Oh, this brother, he offended me in that moment. Check. This saint who said this, I don't like. Check. We all have those checkerboards in our hearts, brothers. There's no way the reality and the practicality of the one new man can be carried out in us. Even our church, the church we're serving, the church we're so faithfully serving, and are we really open to the body? Are we really open to the fellowship of the body? Brothers, this is all some diagnosis of our hearts. So it's coming down to very basic things. You know, when we talk about the one new man as one person, that's Christ, as if it's very, very difficult. But in the Lord's eyes, if we open up a little every day, if we put off a little every day, wherever the Lord shines, we cooperate with him. Lord, yes, I don't feel good about that. I was mad. Lord, forgive me. Lord, wash me. Lord, make me to meet that brother tomorrow. I don't have to say anything because he didn't know I had a negative feeling against him. But Lord, I want to love that brother. I love him. Brothers, if we have those incremental cleanings, incremental shining from the Lord, I think the church life will gradually be led toward this direction. Because the one new man is not a one-shot job. The full completion, finish of the one new man is in the New Jerusalem. Because the New Jerusalem is the totality and the consummation of this one new man. So today we're all in that process. All in that process. But we know there is a kingdom. In the kingdom, very little we can do because the Lord will arrange everything. But even today, be leading us to the realization of the kingdom. We'll determine where we will be, what a function we will have in the kingdom if we really be watchful and careful, diligent, and vigilant today with this vision, with this practicality of the one new man. Brothers, let's read some of the key points. Amen. And I hope we don't run over time. Let's come back to message 5. Let's read message 8 first, okay? Let's start from message 8. This is page 52. Let's read the Roman numeral. Or let's read the title first. Carry out the stewardship of God for the one new man. 1. In order to carry out his economy, God must have stewards to serve, minister, manage, and execute his economy. So this is where the steward, we are stewards. And this is the same word in different forms as oikonomia, the same form of oikonomia, God's economy, and we have a steward and stewardship. Okay, let's read the point B. In God's economy revealed in the New Testament, there are many two mysteries. So we know there's two mysteries has to be fulfilled in the church. Christ is the mystery of God, which embodied in Christ. And also, now today, Christ is embodied in the church. That's where the great mystery. How great is the mystery? Actually, Christ today is embodied in the church. So these two mysteries are all in us. Brothers, we are the mysteries, and yet we are the embodiment of these two mysteries. So the church has to fulfill the purpose of God's economy. Let's read Roman numeral 2. In the New Testament economy of God, there is the desperate need for the stewardship of God. When we dispense Christ, we are stewards. But yet, in God's economy, we are the stewardship. So the stewardship is singular. The stewards are plural. So we can all be stewards, but yet we dispense the same thing. But of course, we have to dispense according to the needs of the saints and the church at a given time, given situation. But our ultimate purpose needed to bring them, usher them into the economy of God. So that, you know, the totality is dispensing Christ. So let's go on. Roman numeral 3. The stewardship of God is the stewardship of a grace. Oh, this is so much needed these days. Oh, so many saints going through a lot of things. Many times you notice this, why not dispensing of truth? Why not dispensing revelation? Why not dispensing love? Why talking about grace? Because grace is the totality of all the above. Even the gospel is the gospel of truth. Even the gospel of grace is all included in this. If this is not talking about no perdition, it's just eternal life, that's that kind of very rudimentary gospel. No. Brothers, grace is triune God, gone through the process, consummated as the life-giving spirit. Now today, circulating in us so we can enjoy and experience him. So in this, everything in the triune God, his being and his working and his purpose want to accomplish, everything is in this grace. So it truly depends on the stewards. Okay, it depends on the stewards. If you ever go to a Chinese restaurant, they have a Peking duck. I don't know if you never had it, that's fine. They come with a roasted duck. And the steward, sometimes they slice and chop the duck in front of you. Oh, they know which part to serve you the best. Okay? I was in Beijing years ago, that's before I come to U.S., 30-some years ago. And then, we emptied our pocket because we heard the Peking duck is so good. In our lifetime, we never had it. So a few of us, we just, dole out everything we have. Went to this restaurant. Oh, the steward, the servant come out of, very, very well dressed, knife, fork, everything. Oh, they cut, just a roast duck before you. Oh, they sliced it, wrap it up for you, and then different parts for different purpose. By the end, the duck bones, they bring back to the kitchen, made a stew for you. You come out, the whole table is full of ducks. Yet you can enjoy it in a different ways. See, our Lord is the grace. But sometimes dispensing the grace can be different. For some brothers, you just need to use the grace as a hammer. The word of a hammer. Isn't that all the word of a hammer? Otherwise, they cannot wake up. Some, you cannot. Even though you just use it very gently, they can get hurt. So the same grace, we have to dispense it very according to the needs of the saints. Oh, for some students, they come back after 2 months, all of a sudden you tell them, where were you the past 2 months? Why have I not seen you in the meetings? Do you really love the Lord? You won't see them next time. Okay? So that's grace, but dispensed differently. Okay? If the server just threw us the duck, say, eat. That's not grace. The grace is still there. But the serving, brothers, actually, in the church life, our service, our even presentation, our ways to talk with the saints, even the ways that we stand, the ways, there's so many things can discount the dispensing of grace. Brothers, that's the requirement for stewards are very high, right? Praise the Lord. Let's read it 4 and 5. Those who bear responsibilities in the churches need to share in the stewardship of a God. Brothers, you have no way to run away anymore. Okay, you are slaves. And we are, as a matter of fact, according to Ephesians 4, we're chain gangs. Paul has been chained by Christ. He has nowhere to run, even though he was in Roman prison. But from the beginning, he was chained together by Christ. Now today, we are chained servants, and we need a chain together. It's very difficult for, chain gangs, for anybody to run away. If one abuses another chain gang, actually, you better not to kill that person. Otherwise, you're going to drag a dead body with you. Have you ever, read those stories? Yeah. We are all co-slaves. Brothers, we are co-slaves one with another. We are slaves with Christ. And he himself is chained by the Lord, by God the Father. If you read Philippians 2, you will know he has no freedom. He has no freedom whatsoever. And Paul is the same. And so are we today. We are in the same one stewardship. We are on the same ship. Don't jump board. We are on the same ship. On this ship, the Lord is with us. The water will become. The wind will become. No. No. The tempest will come. It will be around the corner. But the Lord is with us. So if we stay in this one stewardship to help one another to be proper stewards, the grace of our Lord will be dispensed in the church life. Number five, because Paul, a faithful steward in God's economy, was a conscience of the one new man, what was in his heart was not simply a particular local church or a certain saint, but the universal one new man. Paul, even in the book of Colossians, he's recommending books to one another, and in his heart, he has no particular favor for any particular saint or church. In his heart, all the letters today, just as those days, is to all the churches. In our Lord, in Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, all the seven letters within that long epistle, the whole Revelation is epistle, but there are seven short epistles within that long epistle, are for all the churches. The Spirit is speaking to the churches. Brothers, let's come back to message five. Let's read the title. Laboring according to God's operation to present every believer full grown in Christ for the function and consummation of the one new man. Brothers, this is where being a steward, in the stewardship, we need to labor diligently. We need to labor according to God's operation and with the purpose to present all the saints full grown in Christ. So this is where Paul was declaring in Colossians, the end of Colossians chapter 1, he is laboring according to God's operation. So in order to present the saints fully grown, full grown to in Christ, to the Lord. Let's read the title, number one. For the one new man, we all need to arrive at a full grown man and the manner of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Number two, in order to arrive at a full grown man for the fulfillment of God's purpose, we need to grow up into Christ in all things. So this is where we need to grow everything into Christ, the last Adam. Terminate everything. But yet, in practice, in practicality, everything is still in us. More or less, is still in us. But if we grow ourselves into every thought, everything, every decision, every feeling, if we go through Christ, as a matter of fact, the eliminating process will start. And our thoughts might change. Our feeling may change. Our decision may change. Actually, this is the process. We need to bring everything to the head. Let the head go through. So grow into him. And then from him, out from him, and we can be renewed. We can be transformed. Many factors, I can testify, many factors have been dealt with. You even bring the negative things to him and come out of him, it's gone. It's renewed. Brothers, it's very practical. Bring all of this to him. Amen. Let's read the next point. For the practical of the one new man, we need to labor and struggle to present all the saints full grown in Christ. This is a tall order. This is a very tall order. And is it really 100%? Yeah, in New Jerusalem it is. But today we don't make judgments. We don't say this one has 90% probability. That saint is a 5%.
That one, nah. Many times we do that, brothers. And I have been proved so wrong in so many occasions. Brothers, this is the purpose of God. We may not be able to bring everyone, but at least we need to amen to this purpose. And then, so when we labor, we don't judge any saint. We love them. And we are full of hope they will be presented to the Lord full grown. Number four. When the one new man was created in our spirit through regeneration, it was complete as far as organs are concerned. However, because the new man has not yet been completed in function, there is the need for growth and renewing. That's self-explained. That's number five. The new Jerusalem will be the final consummation of the new universal one new man. Praise the Lord. We aim for New Jerusalem, but we live in today. We aim for everyone to be full grown. But today, let's labor to the one or two next to us. Care for the saints in our locality. Bring them into this same vision and same practicality. So the Lord will honor us. Brothers, the Lord will honor us. Brothers, time is we have a few minutes. Maybe five, a little over. Our lunch is 12:30, but if we can have a few minutes to review the whole morning, any portion you want to fellowship, just come out. Amen.